This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
House Taxation Committee will come to order, and I'd ask the Secretary to please call the roll.
Representatives Chafee.
Here.
Derby.
Here.
Drury.
Excused.
Jameson.
Here.
Koth.
Here.
Olson. Excused. Otten?
Here.
Poirier? Excused. Randolph?
Here.
Thomason?
Here.
Tiedemann?
Here.
Ishke?
Here.
Denner?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have 10 present, 3 excused, for a total of 13.
Okay, we do have a quorum. I'd like to greet everyone who is here with us today. Reminder that if you are here to testify, please sign in. Also, please mute your cell phones. I do have a couple guests here today that I'd like to introduce. Here are my grandparents, Paul and Peggy Dennert. So I'd like to welcome them to the taxation room. I know a couple of you on this committee, Representative Derby, Representative Tiedemann, for sure. You both served with my grandpa when he was here from 1993 to 2012, and I know Representative Chafee knows them too. So good to have them here with us for a couple days. So, with that, we do need a motion to approve the minutes. Representative Chafee.
So moved.
Second by Representative Randolph. All in favor say aye. Opposed nay. That motion carries. Okay, we will go ahead and get started. We do have a request for Senate Bill 25 to be deferred until Thursday's meeting, and I will honor that request, so Senate Bill 25 will be on the top of Thursday's agenda. And with that, we will move on to Senate Bill 162, revise the discretionary formula for reduced taxation of new structures and residential property. We'll go to proponent testimony on Senate Bill 162. Good morning, Senator Crabtree.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. Appreciate your work in here this year. And what this bill came from is really came from the summer study on workforce housing that we worked on through the interim period. And I know Representative Koth put a lot of hard work into that. I see one that was on there. So. And I'd also just say I haven't had a chance to see Representative Otten since he got back, and it's good to have him back around here. So good to see you looking well and feeling well. So 162 is let's just go back to that study. A couple of things that we found on that study is that a lot of the things that exist as far as tools to develop housing, those things exist already. They just maybe needed to be updated, sharpened, refined, enhanced, whatever you want to call it. And so 162 is really where that comes from. That's the discretionary formula. And why did we start talking about housing? Well, it was part of a bigger problem, which was workforce and a lack of workforce. And we think this was one of the things that we identified early on that we think tips the scales and incentivizes some more buildings, some more development that would put more workforce in our state. So this is that is where this came from. And initially, the concept is not that hard to like, but getting it to work really well in real life, pretty tough on these things. And so I'm sure you'll hear from folks in the industry that worked on this as well. And then we have an amendment that we put on the Senate side that came with the request of the Department of Revenue. So lots of eyes have been on this. A couple of things that are really the concept pieces that are big differences is through the committee process over the summer, we were looking to extend this from 5 years to 10 years. In discussions with the county folks, we think 10 years was maybe a little bit too far, and so it scaled back to 7 years. Another idea that we had come up with through the summer was to make sure that this was flexible. So a very different approach based on county to county to county with these as they are now. This would allow the counties to enter into that, but also give some flexibility if a city or municipality wanted to enter into that as well. So with that, I'll turn it over to some other folks to talk and then stand by for questions.
And thank you, Senator Crabtree. There is an amendment online. Is that something you want moved, or it'd be identified as 162D?
See if that's the last one here. Yes. Would you please?
You would like that moved?
Yep.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion, or is that pretty simple?
It was to clarify some language that we, or some references that we had missed on the first one there.
Okay. Representative Chafee, do you have a motion?
Thank you. I motion that we move 162D amendment.
Second. Okay. Motion by Representative Chafee, second by Representative Derby. Any discussion on the motion?
No.
Seeing none, that's a roll call or a voice vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay. We are amended with 162D, and we will continue on with further proponent testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Julie Johnson. I'm a lawyer from near Aberdeen and the registered lobbyist for several groups that participated in the summer study. Homes for South Dakota is one of my clients, and they are a coalition of all of the nonprofit housing entities that exist around South Dakota, working hard to be sure their housing needs in their regions are met. This idea came from the summer study. As you know, we made a presentation to one of the early meetings of the committee outlining what tools exist in the state's toolbox for local governments to work on these subjects at that time. And we reminded that the discretionary formula has been adapted over the years to be helpful in the arena of affordable or residential housing. You see some of that in the existing language in Section 1 of the bill. The subsections, the way I printed it, 1 through 8, are some of the ways that the discretionary formula has been adapted over the years to meet local needs. So from there, about the one thing that was on the wish list of anyone who came forward was to allow local governments to expand the number of years over which your property taxes are phased in. So let me remind you what the discretionary formula really is. It's not discretionary. If a county or a city decides to use the discretionary formula, that it applies to all equally situated property. It's, you can't pick and choose which kinds of properties it applies to. There's case law in South Dakota on that topic. But it is discretionary with the local government as to whether they choose to allow someone to phase in their property taxes. Discretionary formula allows a new project to phase in the new growth over a term of years, 5 years currently. This bill would allow 7 years if that local government chose to do that. The housing groups across the state thought that this would be an enormous help in the housing arena. We would encourage your favorable vote on Senate Bill 162. I'll make myself available for any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Johnson. We'll continue on with further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 162.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. Is this on? Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tim Doherty. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Home Builders Association. And first, Mr. Chair, I want to point out that your grandmother makes a mean sour raisin cream pie. I was the beneficiary of one of her pies when your grandfather served in the legislature, and I will never forget. We're here in support of Senate Bill 162. As the previous proponents mentioned, this is something that came out of the summer study, and it's a tool that local governments will have now to help phase in the increase in real estate taxes that occur after a project's built. In my law practice, I represent a company that builds about two or three low-income housing projects every year in South Dakota. And in the last 2 years, they've experienced substantial increase in the cost of these projects because of increased labor, increased cost of supplies, increased cost of real estate. And, for example, a year ago, they were putting together their preliminary plans for a low-income housing apartment building. And when it came to closing, they got bids for the project, and their bids were $1 million over what they had originally estimated. And so they had to go back to the drawing board and come up with additional financing. and other sources of revenue to complete that project. But because the rents are restricted on these projects, when they do get them constructed and start renting them out, you know, it's hard for them to adjust to the increased property taxes that result after the project's gone online. And so this bill will provide some help for projects like that that really need them, and it'll also help provide some help for other types of projects. So for those reasons, Mr. Chair, we would encourage you to support this legislation, and I'd be happy to stand by for any questions that anybody might have.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 162 as amended. Further proponent testimony. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Larry Nelson. I'm a lobbyist from Canton, South Dakota, and I represent the Economic Development Professionals Association of South Dakota. We participated in the summer study, viewed all drafts of this piece of legislation with Senator Crabtree, and we rise in support of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 162 as amended.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. We don't have a whole lot of tools that we can use as cities, but this is one, and this makes it a heck of a lot more useful. So we'd urge you to support it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 162.
Good morning, Chair and committee members. Denise Hanslick from Del Rapids, and I am also the executive director and lobbyist for South Dakota Multi-Housing Association. Taxes, real estate taxes, are one of the top budget items on any multifamily project, and anything we can do to relieve some of that pressure from those property owners is beneficial to the entire state, especially with our vacancy rates of less than 2% in Rapid and just about 3% in Sioux Falls. Those are the two areas that we do vacancy surveys for, and we're in a dire need for more housing, so we appreciate your support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 162. Okay, seeing none, is there any opponent testimony? Opponent testimony, also seeing none, I will waive rebuttal and open it up for committee questions. Representative Koth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Julie Johnson. I think you would be very capable of answering my question. And I would just say I'm certainly in favor of this, but my question is this. I believe in statute currently, if a developer buys land, let's say it's ag land, and it would be currently assessed at $5,000 an acre, and that would be the tax base, buys it, and he, let's say, because of where it's at and what it's going to be used for, it now has a value based upon purchase price of $20,000 an acre. And then, short time thereafter, he has it plotted, and he begins developing it, and now all of a sudden it would be worth $50,000 an acre, or whatever that number might be. So the developers I talk with in my district really shy away from that tax burden as they improve that. Isn't there out there in statute that would permit the county, the taxing district, county, city, whatever, to, in a discretionary formula for development properties, to waive that tax increase for 5 years? And if that's the case, and this is a little bit off, but if that's the case, this would not negatively affect that particular opportunity for the county to continue to do that?
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Julie Johnson again. I don't believe this bill is intended to deal with that scenario, but I'll tell you the answer that you could take to the bank is sitting in the back row. The Department of Revenue is here. I think you want to rely on their answer to your question rather than my answer to your question, and they're in the, you know, they're in the room.
Representative Koth, do you have a follow-up?
Yes, and that would be great. The Department of Revenue, are we... And I should just, sir, I've been working with our community and on a steering committee in that regard. And I just want to make sure that I clearly understand what is currently available and that this wouldn't in any way hinder that should our county, should our city agree to it.
Mr. Chair?
Yep, please go ahead.
Representative Koth, Mike Howdyshaw, I'm the General Counsel for the Department of Revenue. Thanks for the question. So there is a separate statute dealing with development lots that counties can adopt to apply a discretionary formula to those types of lots. That's in 10-6-144, I believe, is the statute. That's a separate deal from what's going on in Senate Bill 162. 162 is addressing the three specific types of discretionary formulas for residential property construction. So the redevelopment lot program, that's still on the books, and that would be not impacted by this bill.
Thank you. No further questions.
No further questions. Okay. Is there any further questions of the committee? Further questions of the committee? Okay. Seeing none, we will close the public testimony portion and open it up for committee discussion and or action. Representative Otten.
I would move due pass.
Okay. It's been a due pass motion on Senate Bill 162 as amended. That motion is seconded by Representative Chafee. Representative Otten, do you have any comments on your motion?
No, I just think it would be great for builders.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion due pass as amended on Senate Bill 162? Okay, seeing no discussion, the motion is due pass, and I'll ask the Secretary to please call the roll.
Representative Chafee.
Aye.
Derby.
Aye.
Drury. Excused. Jameson.
Aye.
Koth.
Aye.
Olson. Excused. Otten.
Aye.
Poirier.
Aye.
Randolph.
Aye.
Thomason.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Aye.
Denner.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, we have 11 yeas, 2 excused, for a total of 13.
Okay, that motion, having received a majority vote, is hereby declared passed. That bill will head to the floor, and if there's no objection, I'll certify Senate Bill 162 for consent. Okay, seeing no objection, we'll move on to our next order of business, which is Senate Bill 165, exempt gross receipts of certain coaches from certain gross receipts taxes. We'll open it up for proponent testimony on Senate Bill 165. Welcome, Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning to you and to the members of the committee. My name is Brock Greenfield. I'm the senator from District 2. My hometown is Clark. I have before you today a bill that has, or an issue that has a long and storied history. It goes back to 2012, at which time Representative Tona Rosum from Mitchell brought to my attention an interpretation that had been handed down by the Department of Revenue, and it subjected coaches who coach for VFW or American Legion posts, subjected them to a sales tax on their earnings. And the reason, the reason that they were treated differently is because they're 1099 employees. Most other coaches are W-2 employees, but it was determined by the department that those coaches who are serving those veterans organizations were, again, subject to the sales tax. Representative Rosen did yeoman's work on this issue over the next few years. It got to the point where we actually passed a bill that was subsequently vetoed by Governor Dugard. And unfortunately, we were three short on the Senate floor on veto day, and it failed by three votes. All three of those people had told me they would have voted to override. Well, when I became the president pro tem, I had people telling me that, hey, I'll vote for your bill this year. And I said, I'm not going to put people in that position. I don't want it to be said that I'm, you know, exploiting my position to bring forth this legislation. Well, this year, after the governor's State of the State address, Representative Rosen, former Representative Rosen, got fired up about the potential for revisiting the issue. We brought forth similar language to what we had brought in the past. And I want to tell you, over the years, I was told that the tax collected represented less than $10,000. And that was because it wasn't applied equally or what have you across the board, because it was such a small amount. It wasn't, generally speaking, worth having somebody go out and audit all these coaches. Representative Rosen, again, in her homework, she came up with some numbers, and she would point out that any 1099 employee is already picking up the employer's share of federal withholding and what have you, and therefore they're already behind the eight ball in terms of what they earn. And I don't want to get too into the weeds on this, but the long story short is, in most cases, these coaches are asked and then begged to coach. And in Clark, for example, where I want to make clear, I've never been subject to the tax, because in 2011, the American Legion dropped us. They quit sponsoring us. And so I took it upon myself to pay the tab. And then I went to the city and I asked for help in reimbursing us for the costs that we had incurred. And they helped. I still lost a lot of money over the years, but I was providing this service. So I wasn't making anything, thus not subject to the tax. When I started coaching VFW a few years later, it was because parents came to me and said, if you don't coach, they won't have a team. I tried to call their bluff and say, oh, you'll be able to find somebody, find a dad or a mom or what have you. And after a few weeks, they said, we don't have anybody. And so I agreed to it. Well, it turns out that I was paid by the city as a W-2 employee. So my conscience is clean as it relates to this. I would have never been subject to this sales tax, but for those who are, we wanted to try to provide clarifying language that they were not subject to this tax. After the committee hearing in the Senate, and I want to tell you, it was a fun hearing. We had opponents from the department who came forward, and I said it was nice to rekindle old friendships, and I do mean that. Both people who were in the room were friends. Those people aren't in the room, but we have a couple people here today, and I'm hopeful that they'll agree with me that what I'm saying is accurate. Secretary Terwilliger came to me after that first committee meeting, and he said, I want to be fair. I want to be open to this. What's the proper amount? And I said, excuse me? He said, what is fair? He said, I know a lot of these people don't make much. And so he said, we don't want to get into a situation where we exempt baseball coaches serving a veterans organization, and then somebody else comes forward and says, what about us? And so we landed on this language that's before you today. And this was brought by the secretary after he and I had talked, and we've agreed that $4,000 is probably a fair-minded level to exempt coaches. And so you'll see before you a hog house bill that has passed the Senate floor. This isn't new language that you're considering. It does come with a 29-6 vote over to the House. And it would provide that sales tax exemption, if you will. But again, I want to be clear, this is a different animal from a person actually advertising for services that they're providing and being able to set their rate for participation in their particular activity. Go back to the thought process. In Clark, I got $500 per VFW team that I coached, and there were two of them, a 14 and under and 16 and under. But again, I was not subject to this tax because of the way I was classified. But these are people who are almost volunteers in that they don't probably in most cases even make minimum wage given their time spent. And so I know that there's a lemonade girl sitting here, and you know, we've considered other exemptions over the years. We think that this is probably reasonable. We're asking for your support, and I'm hopeful that, if nothing else, I can report back to Representative Rosen that we've gotten from point A to point B finally after a 10-year history. With that, I will stand by for questions, and I'll ask for your support. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you, Senator Greenfield. I'll ask for further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 165. Good morning, Mr. Secretary. Good
morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jim Twilliger. I'm the Cabinet Secretary with Department of Revenue. And as Senator Greenfield spoke, after this came out of the first committee, I kind of sat back and thought about this situation. And I think this is probably very similar to the situation where you, Representative Dennert, had a similar bill we kind of called, referred to as the lemonade stand bill. And it kind of comes back to me as being having a little bit more common sense. And where I go is, you know, we as a Department of Revenue, we do not have revenue agents that are out looking for these types of things that are occurring. And I would venture to guess that a very, very high percentage of the folks that are coaching these youth sports that may be in a 1099 situation have no idea that there's any tax obligation today. And most of these folks are making less than $1,000, maybe less than $2,000. And so we came up with some language we thought that made sense that would capture not only, you know, maybe the youth baseball coach or potentially the youth soccer or the youth volleyball coach that helps out with some of these club teams around the state. We think it makes sense, and so we'd ask for you to support it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Terwilliger. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 165. Seeing none, is there any opponents? Also seeing none, we will waive rebuttal and open it up for committee questions. Representative Derby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for Secretary Terwilliger, please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just help me understand the mechanics. We've got the $4,000 cap now, correct? What happens, probably won't happen, but maybe it will. What happens if somebody gets paid over $4,000? Is then sales tax collected just on what's over $4,000, or do they have to go back retroactively and pay sales tax on the previous $4,000?
Mr. Chairman, I believe they'd have to pay the tax on the full amount. That's the way I understand it.
On the full amount, okay.
Do you have a follow-up at all?
Nope, just wanted to make sure everybody knew that point. Thank you.
Okay, further questions of the committee? Further questions? Seeing none, we'll close the public testimony portion of this and move on to committee discussion and or action. Representative Koth.
Mr. Chair, I move do pass.
Okay. Motion do pass by Representative Koth, second by Representative Otten. Discussion on your motion? Okay. No discussion on the motion.
I'll make okay. One comment, Mr. Chair. It's just a common sense bill, and I so appreciate those types of bills coming before us and make sense.
Okay, further discussion on the motion do pass. Okay, seeing none, I appreciate Senator Greenfield and the Secretary getting together on this, and I think this is a good common sense bill. I certainly would support it and just appreciate your guys' work. So with that, I'll ask the Secretary to please call the roll.
Representatives Chafee.
Aye.
Derby.
Aye.
Drury. Excused. Jameson.
Aye.
Koth.
Aye.
Olson. Excused. Otten.
Aye.
Poirier.
Aye.
Randolph.
Aye.
Thomason.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Ishke.
Aye.
Dennert.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, we have 11 yeas and 2 excused for a total of 13.
Okay, Senate Bill 165, having received a majority vote, will pass to the floor. Is there any objection to this being certified for consent? Seeing none, I will go ahead and certify Senate Bill 165 to be placed on the consent calendar. Thank you, Senator.
Maybe we can celebrate with the celebrating raisin pie.
That's not a bad idea.
And lemonade, Mr. Chairman.
We could have both. With that, we have our pages who are here this morning. I'd like both of you to please come up. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and if you have any future plans.
My name is Britta Pietola. I'm from Yankton, and I am planning on attending University of Minnesota Twin Cities.
Alexander Dayak, I'm from Baltic, and I plan on going to Dakota State University for cybersecurity.
Very good. Thank you both for being here and for helping us out here the last couple of weeks. With that, before we adjourn, we will have a meeting on Thursday to discuss Senate Bill 25 as well as potential summer studies from the committee. I do plan on bringing a request on behalf of the committee, but anyone else is also welcome to do that. So be thinking in the next couple of days if there are any requests that you'd like to make of the committee, and we certainly can have a discussion about any of those requests and see if there's anything this committee would like to sponsor. So that will be on Thursday's agenda. And with that, we should be ready to adjourn. Representative Chafee.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, motion to adjourn by Representative Chafee. Second by Representative Randolph. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. We're adjourned. Thank you.